pastor didn't know, it wasn't actually, they weren't interviewing me to come to school. I was interviewing to them to see if I should come to school. I was that awesome, right? He's not smiling. Oh, okay. Well, we miss you all. I miss my Sunday school class. I miss our teenagers. I'm so glad we had a chance to do the teen service and connect with some of them there. This week, we're going to try something new in teen service. We're going to try, instead of you texting in some the games, we want you to call in so everybody could hear. So we'll try that. We'll see what happens there. But we're looking forward to some good things there. And we're looking forward to what God's going to do today here in our service. Thank God for our pastor during this time that we can still do this and allowing us to preach here. And you'll notice later on our live stream guys are going to, we have two angles right now. Hopefully on Sunday we'll have three angles where it's not so boring for you because we're boring, or not pastor, but myself, I'm boring. And maybe Brother Joseph, Brother Pichardo, especially Brother Jim. And we all know Brother Vaught is boring. Praise the Lord, he's not preaching tonight, amen. Put us all to sleep. Brother Vaught, you and your family are watching right now. Make sure you use the Bible next time you preach, all right? So I'm just kidding, of course. But we want to thank God for the men that are doing that, and praise the Lord for that. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you so much that we have the opportunity to hear your word. And though we're not able to meet for so many weeks now, we thank you, Lord, that we can still grow. And the church is not the building. The church is your people. And your people are strong. Your people are mighty. Your people, Lord, are faithful. We thank you for our pastor, our church. And we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I've been the youth pastor here for quite some time. I started as the intern youth pastor, a junior high intern youth pastor. And when I was a freshman in college, I believe, been working with teenagers and been teaching Sunday school since I was a teenager, had the opportunity. Pastor Esposito gave me that opportunity, and I love it. One thing I love about teenagers is I love doing activities. I don't have a lot of energy like I did before. But I remember once upon a time when I go hiking and stuff like that with the kids, we always have a good time. Camping was like amazing. I'm not talking about winter camp or summer camp where we go in cabins or anything like that. I'm talking about tent camping, roughing it. I love that. I can recall different times where we went and we would take a long hike. One year we went to a camping site. It was in Malibu Creek. The camping site was in Malibu Creek. And we went there and I don't know anything about MASH. Never watched it, but there in Malibu Creek, God said there was light and there was light. Now the light's off, but it's okay. It's better for my eyes. But we're there at Malibu Creek, and while we're walking around, we saw a ranger, and we asked him, what's a good place to go hiking, a good trail? He said, you ever watch MASH? Looked at him, I go, no, I had mashed potatoes, probably about it, mash, nothing else. And so he said, well, they filmed a MASH over there, and you could hike over there. I think that he said it's about 2 miles, and then you could hike over there and find that site, and that's where they filmed it. We're like, okay, let's go. Never watched MASH in my life. You old people, you probably watched it. I'm pretty sure Pastor, not that he's old, but he's probably watched it. But I never watched it because I'm young. Amen. But we walked to that MASH site, 2 miles, nothing. Got there, nothing. Oh, had one old Jeep there. And everybody was looking forward to some kind of big production or something. Disappointment, a broken down Jeep. On our way back, we decided to cross some rivers and everything like that. And some of the guys decided, you know what, the rivers and this little walkway, they didn't want to get wet. So I had a couple of the guys, they went and rock climbed on the top, about 2 or 3 of them. I didn't care for it because it's harder work. I just get wet. It's camping anyways. So I'm just walking. I try not to get wet, but we're just walking. And I could see them, the two teenagers, at the corner of my eye doing the climbing the wall, and I say, hey, guys, be careful, don't fall. And if you fall, don't blame me. All right, so, and they're going. And all of a sudden, I hear, one of the guys, a high school guys, I mean, I think he was a junior in high school, fell down. I've never seen a guy so scared in my life, Brother Bichardo. He got in the water, excuse me, and he started yelling and screaming, help, help, I can't swim. He's flapping the water, help, help, I can't swim. He's flapping the water. By that time, one of my adult workers, they were up there too. He jumped in also. As soon as he jumped, he's trying to help the guy. The guy stands up. The teenager stands up. He said, oh, I didn't know it was deep. The water was like up to a little bit over his knees. And he was yelling and screaming and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And I mean, man, this guy was like, it looked like somebody took his lunch. It looked like somebody, you know, beat him up. I mean, he looked like he was about to die the way he sounded. But the water was only a little bit over his knees, and the one of the workers jumped in and got in. He said, what is this? You made me jump and get wet for nothing? I said, better you than me, but I'm wet. You're wet too, so we're all good. You know what? This teenager, I don't want to tell you he's a grown adult now, a wife and everything like that. I don't want to say any names, but maybe afterwards I could say some names, and if he's listening, he knows who it is. And it's just the word that comes out of that I could think of when I think about that scenario was fear. You can see the fear in his eyes. You can see the fear in his reaction. You could hear the fear and the voice that was just like excruciating pain and fearful, if you will, just craziness. I'm thinking, oh my soul. Joshua 1:9 says this, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God, the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goeth. You know, courage is a word that's missing, or right now, very small in our vocabulary. I mean, if you listen right now and you listen to people in America right now, we're in uncharted waters. Some people right now are super fearful. You listen to the media, and sometimes you listen to people, and man, they're scared just out of their mind. And by the way, it's something to be concerned about. But let me say this. We got to remember who is in control. God is in control. God holds tomorrow. God knows what's going on. God did not fall off his throne. He still holds the universe with his words and with his might. He still is all-powerful God. God's still in control. When I think of courage, and when I think of persistence, and think of just a mighty spirit, I think of people in our church. I think of our church. I mean, if you know anything about our church, we've had humble beginnings. I remember first coming to our church, Pastor was mentioning the time where we came, my mom wanted me to go to a Christian school. I went to a Catholic school before I came here. I went to church just about all, as far as I can remember. But when I came here, my mom said, you can go to any school you want. So I went to check out Lakewood High School. I went to check out Milliken High School. I went to check out Wilson High School. I mean, these are all big schools. And then my last school that I wanted to go check out was Cambodian Christian School. Now a specific Baptist school, Cambodian Christian School. When I went in there, it wasn't much. I mean, to say the least. You have to walk through an alley to get to school. A dark, you know what, those dark alleys that you shouldn't be in? That was the entrance to our church and our school. Our playground was elaborate, blacktop, about the size of our chapel, I think it was. I mean, our classroom was intense, very, very first class. I think it started on the ping pong table, four sides with four students. And then we upgraded to offices. And you say, who was our teacher? I want to say his name was Acer. Is it Acer? Pudge? Who else, Brother Joseph, was there? Baba? I don't know who. I just remember Acer, and Pudge and Spot. I think the dog's name was Spot. And they taught us, and we had a supervisor and everything, of course. And I've never experienced anything like it. I went to a big Catholic school before I came to our school. I'm thinking, this is it? So I thought about it. Should I go to Wilson High School, Milligan, Lakewood? Drove by Reed. They said bad people went there, so I didn't go there. For some reason, I decided to go to the elaborate Cambodian Christian school. And I took the entrance test, and we had something called PACES. And I did that. And by the way, I loved it. I loved being in the school. But we had humble beginnings. I mean, humble beginnings. I mean, it was so bad at our school, we would bring our own lunch, and homeless people would steal our lunch. I mean, it was horrible. I remember we moved to the new building, nothing. That old building was condemned. We had to leave, and then we moved to Raymond and Anaheim. We used to have a basketball league, and there in the basketball league, we would sell food and everything like that. People would come around. And during that time, there was a big war with the Asians and the Hispanics. And I remember at that time, some ESL. When I first came, the people were graffitiing on the wall, ESL. I'm thinking, man, these people are proud of English second language. I didn't know it was East Side Longo. I'm thinking, man, these people, I went to English second language. Then, you know, that was kind of like the dumb people like me. And I went there. But I thought, man, these people are proud of it. Hey, I'm there. I'm in that gang. But I didn't know it was East Side Longo. And I remember one time we were playing basketball and two gangsters came in and he slapped some girls and punched some guys. I remember the guy squared up right at me. Rith, if you're watching, Rith, he stood behind me hiding. That coward. Hiding, and he used me, Pastor, as a human shield. And my mom didn't, you know, teach me to be an idiot or anything like that. I learned that myself, by the way, but no, she did it. She taught me if somebody swings, guess what you do? You duck. And this big old gangster guy looked at me, squared up, and punched. I ducked. Rith Run used me as a human shield. I ducked and got him squared in the face. Whack! I heard it. He got up. We ran. I laughed. I said, "That's what you get for using me as a shield, man." We all live. We laugh right now because we live. We're here. I mean, guys got shot on our parking lot. We're Pastor Esposito and a couple of our guys doing some signs in the back. You see a hand coming out, tuk, 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 shooting, and all of a sudden one of our guys, ah! I go out there, oh, you're falling and you can't get up. I thought, the guy got shot, and I'm over here making jokes. That's how mature I was. Looking back to now, we have a lot of stories. I mean, we're getting into a brand new building here in a couple weeks. Whenever this stuff is over. I mean, man, I went in the other day. It was phenomenal. I mean, you're looking, yeah, you're like, wow. If you've gone through the journey like we have here, and most of you have at home sitting there, it's been a long journey. And you see the sacrifices and the courage that our pastor has showed to our people, and the courage our people have to give and to give and to give. And now that faith is becoming a reality. I can't wait till the new the opening service. I can't wait to sit there and hear preaching. I can't wait in July when we have youth conference. I text Pastor Ray and Pastor Johnson. I said, man, you guys are going to be the first youth conference speakers in our new building. And they're excited about it. I'm excited about it. That's because of the courage of our people. All this stuff didn't just happen on accident. There had to be some courageous people that stepped out in faith that, I don't know how we're going to get there. I don't know who's going to help us get there. But I know who's in charge. It's Jesus Christ. And we had leaders in our church that had courage to step out in faith. Boldness versus fearfulness is this. Boldness is confidence that what I have to say or do is true and right and just in the sight of God. We will be enjoying our new building because of the courage of our pastor and the courage of our people and the blessing of God. And by the way, moms, by the way, dads listening, watching, teach your children to have courage. Teach them not to quit. Teach them not to give up. Oh, it's hard. Yes, life is hard. Keep on going. Oh, but you don't understand, in school, my teacher said this to me. My teacher, I went to a Catholic school. She used to, she was foaming at the mouth, white stuff. I think she had rabies, that lady. She was a nun. And I probably still sue them right now, I guess. I don't know. I used to mess around class, chalk, and the chalkboard eraser used to fly my way. Hit me in the head. I go, yes, ma'am, I'm listening. I'm good in English. Yeah, I'll listen to history. Misbehaving in school and stuff like that, and the teachers are getting on your kids. Don't get on my, just teach them not to gripe and complain. Teach your children to have courage and trust in the Lord. Teach them not to run from problems, but confront them in a biblical way. Teach them not to quit when it's hard, but encourage them to have courage, to push on, to keep going, to keep going, to keep going. Remember, regardless of what's on the horizon, the Lord has promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. There's nothing wrong with being afraid, church. There's nothing wrong with being a little anxious. But the problem comes when we allow fear to govern and to overcome our life. Don't let fear overcome you. Don't let fear frighten you to a point where your faith in God is diminished. Somebody once said, fear is the absence of faith. We'll be either be filled with fear or we'll be filled with faith. If you're filled with fear, you'll never see any kind of spiritual, physical, financial victory in your life. You'll never see God do anything in your life if you're filled with fear. If you're filled with fear, ask God, God, increase my faith. You think of Moses. Moses, when God called him to lead his people out of Egypt, he was scared. He was like, man, Lord, at the burning bush, I can't speak. I can't do it. What do I say? If you notice, God gave him Aaron, but Moses never in the scripture referred to Aaron for his speech. He did it himself. That fear became faith when he put his trust in God. And your fear when you put your trust in the Lord and cancel out your fears and supply your might and all your all on the Lord Jesus Christ, that faith will increase. So how can I possess courage in my life? I'm going to give you a couple points. Number one here, you got to believe in a cause greater than yourself. You got to believe in something greater. By the way, let me say this. Your children are a greater cause than yourself. The next generation is a greater cause than yourself. Doing God's will is a greater cause. You think of the communist movement. This one young communist, he said, well, communists have a high casualty rate. We are the ones that get shot and hung. We are the ones who get shot and hung and ridiculed and fired from our job and in every other way made as uncomfortable as possible. We live in virtual poverty. We turn our backs on, we turn back to the party every penny we make above that which is absolutely necessary to keep us alive. We've been described as fanatics, and we are fanatics. Our lives are dominated by one great overshadowing factor, the struggle for world communism. We have a cause to fight for, a definite purpose in life. He goes on, he said, subordinate our petty personal selves into a great movement of humanity. And if our personal lives seem hard or our ego appears to suffer through subordination to the party, then we are inadequately compensated by the thought that each of us, in a small way, is contributing to something new and true and better for mankind. These people had a cause. There's nothing, there's one thing that which I am dead earnest about, and that is the communist cause. In my life, it is my life, my business, my religion, my hobby, my sweetheart, my wife, my mistress, my bread and my meat. I work at it in the daytime and dream at it at night. It holds on to me. It grows, it not lessens. As time goes on, therefore, I cannot carry on a friendship, a love affair, or even a conversation without relating it to the force which both drives and guides my life. I elevate people, looks, ideas, or I evaluate people, looks, and ideas, and actions according to how they affect the communist cause and by their attitude towards. I've been in jail because of my ideas, and if necessary, I'm ready to die. Here's a guy that had a cause. I'm not for communism. I'm against communism. My family escaped from communism. But this man had a cause. Boy, if we as Christians have a cause and a passion and a calling like this man had. You think of David and Goliath. David was a young teenage man. And yet, he saw a cause in 1 Samuel 17:29. Is there not a cause? He took that stone and he took that sling and he defeated the giant because he believed in a cause greater than himself. Church, we cancel out fear when we believe in a cause. Number two, courage comes by remembering past victories. Sometimes it seems that we forget who's in control. I've seen God's hand work through these past many years. I mean, I'm not too old, but I've seen God work. The stories of my mom. And by the way, I thank God for my mom. I thank God for my family. My mom had courage to get us out of the Pol Pot and running through the jungles and no food and just selling what she had and scrounging food just to keep us alive. I see God's hand work in my family. My mom, a couple of years, I never knew this, told me that it was a rough story for me, Pastor. We were on our way somewhere, I forget, and she told me, she said, you know, son, and my sisters knew about it, I guess they never told me. She said, when I was with child and you were in my tummy, and I can understand what happened, she said, I didn't want to struggle. If you were born, you're probably going to die anyways. She said, I tried my best to abort you. That's why how I am right now. I'm crazy, right? And I'm listening. And she said, I tried my best to abort you. I did all I could because I didn't want to carry a child through this hardship. I didn't want to have a child and then most likely you'll pass. She said, I did everything I could. God wouldn't let you die. That you were born and had disease and stuff and God brought you through while other children died, you didn't. I remember when I told her that God had called me to preach. She said, son, don't be a wishy-washy preacher. If God's called you to preach, you better do it with all your heart. I can remember the stories of God's provision for my family. And God's protection during that time. Church, you got to remember past victories. You've had hard times in your life before, and you're having hard times maybe right now. Remember, God can pull you through it. Remember our faith in the Lord. God is greater than our problems. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Greater is God than your problems. His faithfulness, remember his faithfulness to us. Remember his fruitful provision to us. He provided for us before. He could provide for us again. Maybe we're thinking, man, I don't know how I'm going to make it. And our country has never seen unemployment this high before. But God's still in control. He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. He can provide for you. Be faithful to him. Oh, remember our faith in the Lord. Remember his faithfulness to us. Remember his fruitful provision to our families. And then remember our future anticipation of his goodness. We got to see there's light at the end of the tunnel. God's goodness is coming. There's a breakthrough coming out. And we just got to wait for it. The Bible says, I have not seen, nor ear hath heard, nor ventured the heart of man the things God's prepared for him that love him. You might be struggling right now. But like a caterpillar that's struggling through that cocoon, that's struggling right now, God's preparing you for something great. Oh, I love this verse, Psalm chapter 27, verse 13. I had fainted. Look at it. If you have it, Psalm 27, verse 13. I had fainted unless I believe to see. He didn't see it yet, but he believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He said, man, I have faith. God's going to send a breakthrough. God's going to send something great. I know we are having hard times, but I believe it. Not in heaven, but here in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. A bright young girl of 15 was suddenly cast upon a bed of suffering, completely paralyzed on one side and nearly blind. She heard the family doctor say to her parents as they stood by the bedside, she's seen her best days, poor child. As she heard that, she said loudly, said, no doctor, no doctor, my best days are yet to come when I see the King in his beauty. Oh, we might be struggling right now, but our best days are yet to come. It's like a meal. You eat the meal and you're satisfied. Maybe you don't like the meal. Sometimes I go out and I don't like the meal. But keep the fork because the dessert is coming. Amen. By the way, you might be struggling. Keep the fork. The dessert is coming. Man, that cheesecake is coming. That chocolate cake is coming. That fondue is coming. Whatever it is, that your dessert that you like, durang, it's coming. Yeah, I lost you right there. But the Asian people are like, yeah. Remember past victories. Number next, turn to that which works. Turn to that which works. Church, during this time, turn to that which works. Don't always run to new things. Don't always follow the fad. Don't waver on your trust in the Lord. Keep going back. Somebody once said, ain't broken, don't fix it. The story is told of a pioneer in the pioneer days in our country. A man was making his way west when he came to the Missouri River. It was winter and the ice covered the river from bank to bank. But how could the man be sure it would hold his weight? He knew people often drowned in a river when the ice broke. Yet he had a cross. He walked out a little way and gripped. With fear, he crawled on his hands and knees. And he went on his hands and knees, and he could imaginarily think of him just dropping, so he got a little bit wider and kind of like shimmied on the ice. He spread his weight even more. He lay out flat on his belly and slowly drew himself sliding like an inchworm across the river to a few inches at a time. All of a sudden, from behind him, he heard a whistle. He whipped his head around and saw a big man, very big man, Ryan Raw type of man, a farmer walking across the ice, leading a team of horses, drawing a heavy wooden sleigh full of hay. He was smiling and whistled and tipped his hat to the guy on the floor, just inchworming. The timid man stood up, brushed off the ice, and looked a little bit, you know, embarrassed, had this cheap smile. The old farmer had crossed his ice many times, and he knew it could be trusted. He looks at that guy getting up. He says, hey, follow me. I'll get you to the other side. Church, continue to trust God. He's going to get us to the other side. Hebrews chapter 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Many times as we travel through this world, eye turns and our eye wanders and our eyes get away from God. And that's when, as like Peter, we start to drown. And we get scared because our eyes, instead of looking at Christ, we look at the storms. We look at the economy. We look at the jobs. We look at the disease. We look at a virus. We look at people and what they say. And we see the media. Oh, I love the song. Oh, so are you weary and troubled. No light in the darkness, you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, a life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. His word shall not fail you. He promised, believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Oh, let's keep our eyes on Christ, because this world needs him. During this pandemic and this the charade and this craziness right now, let's have some firm Christians that say, I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. But I know who holds tomorrow. Jesus Christ will lead the way. Realize and turn to that which works. Just get our eyes back on Christ. Number next, realize the battle's God. God's in control. Isaiah chapter 41, 10. Fear not, thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yeah, I will help thee. Yeah, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Often we lose courage because we think the battle's ours. Man, how can I win this? We can't. God can win it. We got to remember the battle belongs to the Lord. We're on the winning side. Boy, I remember back in the 2000s, I think it was year 2000, Pastor Esposito was preaching. It was a Sunday night, I believe, and we were on Pacific. And right as soon as church was done, Brother Tony, you're watching. I think you remember. We all went to across the street to Thai Sky, and we watched the NBA Finals, the Lakers against the Pacers. Kobe Bryant was hurt, missing most of game one and all of game three with an ankle injury. Kobe Bryant came that later on that game, in game four. Bryant stood tall when the team needed him most. He had 28 points to lead the Lakers to 120 to 118 win to take a commanding 3-1 series lead. I remember that game. We caught it. We caught the overtime. We caught part of the fourth quarter. A hobble Bryant scored 6 points in the first half and picked up four fouls, guarding the Pacers, Mark Jackson, and Reggie Miller. He picked up his fifth foul in the third quarter, but Phil Jackson decided, man, I'm just going to keep him in the game. He went on to score 14 points in the second half. Sam Perkins hit a three-pointer. I remember that shot, and it sent the game to overtime. Shaquille O'Neal was playing in overtime for a little bit and fouled out with a lot of time left in OT. After he fouled out, you see it in his eyes. I love Kobe as a basketball player, probably my most favorite Laker. 21 years old, he took charge. So probably in his mind, with his cockiness and with his confidence and courage, if you will, probably he said, I got this. Get on my back. And on his back, the team went. Bryant buried three straight isolation buckets, then collected a rebound off a missed shot. I remember that offensive rebound. He went to the opposite side and laid it up, a reverse layup, to finish that reverse layup, giving the Lakers a three-point lead to seal the win. He played that day not even 100%, 47 of a possible 53 minutes. With 8 points in overtime, the second most overtime points in NBA history, the Lakers went on to win first of their three rings, back-to-back-to-back wins. Dynasty. Because a young man with courage said, you know what, guys? Our big man's gone. Our MVP's gone. Get on my back. He said, I got this. You know what? Church, we need to get on the bandwagon of Jesus Christ. And he says, and trust him, and you know what happens? He got this. He looked at it and said, we got it. Get on. I'm on the winning side. We don't have to fret. We don't have to fear. God is there with us. Let's just continue to trust him. Church, I want to encourage you. Let's do our best to have courage and not fear. Man, courage is amazing when we put our trust in the Lord. Let's do our best this week. And let's be a witness to people and trust God in all that we do. Let's pray, Pastor.